We're going to sing a song. It's These Are the Days of Elijah. Can you just turn me down a bit? I'm echoing. Yep, we're on. A good name is better than great ideas. The rich and the poor have this in common.
God makes them whole.
Whoever sows injustice will harvest disaster.
Whoever shares bread with the poor harvests blessings.
Better to have a good name rather than great riches.
For good deeds are better than silver or gold.
I will praise my Maker while I have breath. Let's sing to God's glory.
Thank you.
Not one of us is worthy to approach you, O God, Creator of the universe, holy and all-powerful. Yet you have approached us and have shown us the human face of your love in Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. He revealed your love and mercy by living as he did, serving others and appreciating them as people made in your image and likeness. Jesus pointed us towards a world in which we each know that we are precious children of God. He even gifted us with the Holy Spirit so that the fabric of our life existence is woven with the thread of his life. May this time of worship be a true reflection of our thanksgiving, our wonder, and our praise over such blessings. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We hear our first reading today from James 2.
The first reading this morning is from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, then 14 to 17. My friends, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meeting, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, "Have this best seat here," but say, "Stand over there," or "Sit here on the floor by my feet," then you are guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves and of making judgments based on evil motives. Listen, my dear friends. God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. Do you dishonor the poor? Who are the ones who oppress you and drag you before the judges? The rich. They are the ones who speak evil of that good name which has been given to you. You'll be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is found in the scripture. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. But if you treat people according to their outward appearance, you're guilty of sin, and the law condemns you as a lawbreaker. Whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can that faith save you? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, "God bless you, keep warm and eat well," if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. It is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. God help us to apply these words to our lives.
Jesus sought to be humble and to be a servant. Let's sing, kneels at the feet of his friends.
Thank you. Morning, everybody.
Morning, Rosemary.
We've got a special flower on the table here today. It's a camellia rather than a rose, and that's because it comes from Val and Lyle. And it's a flower announcing the birth of their first great-grandchild. The gorgeous little Charlotte was born on the 26th of August, and she's the daughter of grandson Ben and his wife Georgie. So congratulations. Thank you, my God. Oh, Lyle and Val are both here. Not many announcements. We've got the Women's Fellowship lunch tomorrow at one table at 12:30. So all welcome. Just let me know. Jan's not here. Let me know if you're coming, just so we have a rough idea of people. So for the restaurant. And on Friday, the 13th, that's the men's lunch at one table. And please let you and Perry know if you're coming to that. His contact details are on the notices. On the Sunday the 22nd, 4 to 6 p.m., there's a soiree at Brookfield Uniting Church. Kathy Milken, composer and oboe, she plays the oboe, joins Elizabeth Slater, organ, and to perform, interspersed with poetry and readings by actor and narrator Angie Milken. Tickets $30. You need to purchase them prior, and the contact isn't in the notices, but it's on this information sheet. I think you all got that email, but I'll put it up at the back too with the contact if you'd like to book tickets for that. That's all, I think. The Walter Taylor Bridge is closing on Friday. The Uniting World's visiting next Sunday. Yes. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
And some of you may have got an SMS from me during the week asking for help. That was a bogus one. I haven't been hacked. It's just somebody sending an email, an SMS using their phone number and my name. But if you get an email from me, any communication from me, really, just ignore it. That's fine.
That's just normal. You're going on holidays.
Yeah. Okay, let's come to God with our prayers of confession. Let us pray. These are responsive. Lord Jesus Christ, you swept away centuries of prejudice and legalism when you reached out and accepted people as they were, accepted them as loved fellow human beings.
We confess that we are not allowed to be as inclusive as you.
Forgive us if people feel excluded from our fellowship because of their appearance, their poverty, their lack of power or self-image. I allow you just a short time of reflection on people you may have come across over the last week. Forgive us if people feel excluded from our fellowship because of their sexuality, their addiction, their lack of a job. And we'll stop here for a second, honestly, about our local situation here and who in the local community may feel excluded from coming to church, even though they may not know us, and attending our worship service. And in a moment we'll read the response together, but as when we do that, when we get to the dotted lines, I ask you to replace it out loud with the things that you may feel exclude people, and I would expect we will have different things from everybody. So where the dotted lines are, where it says because of, you can add your own thing there, out loud, as quietly or as loudly as you wish. So I invite you to finish the next statement. Forgive us if people feel excluded from our fellowship because of. Strengthen us, Lord, where we are weak, and make us strong to withstand the seduction of a society which seems obsessed with the acquisition of wealth and power. We know in our hearts that discipleship demands an utterly new way of seeing people as you did, and being with them unconditionally as you were. But the journey from heart to eye and hand to feet can be long and difficult. We pray your forgiveness, Lord, when we fail. And as people who have received your mercy over and over, may we be merciful and compassionate in all we say and do in your name. Amen. Amen. We rejoice in the good news that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Since we have come to God and confessed our sins and we are now clean, let us share the peace that we have within us with each other. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please stand and share the peace. We have our second reading today from Mark 7.
Second reading today is from Mark 7, verses 24 to 37. Then Jesus left and went away to the territory near the city of Tyre. He went into a house, did not want anyone to know he was there, but he could not stay hidden. A woman whose daughter had an evil spirit in her heard about Jesus and came to him at once and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, born in the region of the Phoenicia in Syria. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus answered, "Let us first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food, throw it to the dogs." "Sir," she answered, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's leftovers." So, because of that answer, go back home where you will find that the demon has gone out of your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed. The demon had indeed gone out of her. Jesus then left the neighbourhood of Tyre and went on through Sidon to Lake Galilee, going by way of the territory of the 10 towns. Some people brought him a man who was deaf, could hardly speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. So Jesus took him off alone, away from the crowd, put his fingers in the man's ears, spat, and touched the man's tongue. Then Jesus looked up to heaven, gave a deep groan, and said to the man, "Ephphatha," which means "open up." At once the man was able to hear, his speech impediment was removed, and he began to talk without any trouble. Then Jesus ordered the people not to speak of it to anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they told it. And all who heard were completely amazed. "How well he does everything," they exclaimed. "He even causes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Amen.
Jesus has headed into Gentile territory. Now, without a good reason, this is not somewhere a good Jewish boy goes. When I was younger, there were parts of Brisbane that I was told I probably shouldn't go to. And in these days there's parts of the world that one would not think of going to, but this, for a Jewish boy, was somewhere where you did not go. And he does it because Jesus does the unexpected. And a woman comes up to him and asks for healing for her daughter. Again, a big no-no. Women don't speak to Jewish men without their husbands being there, and Jewish men do not speak to Gentile women ever. But Jesus does that which is not expected. But his reply rejects her fairly coarsely. She's handled in rather an insulting way, referring to her and her race as dogs. You don't throw the food for the family on the floor for the dogs to eat. Now, if you were eating at my daughter and her husband's house, you would quite often call the dog vacuum. Because anything that goes on the floor, it just sucks up. But, you know, it's not the normal course of events. And the boys are teenagers, so they have very little that goes on the floor. They're pretty well vacuums by themselves. But this woman's comeback is extraordinary. She accepts the insult as if it's not even an insult. Maybe she's used to it, I don't know. And she uses it as an argument against Jesus. And Jesus, because of that, complies with her request. And the daughter is healed. Now, this is a Jewish man healing a Gentile child. No, that doesn't happen. Then he moves on and he heals another man from deafness. Once again, a Jewish rabbi, Gentile person, the enemy of the Jews. And he orders for it to be kept quiet. But the more he does that, the more they proclaim it. And word gets out. So what do we see happening in this passage? Well, Jesus is moving out of his Jewish environment, because if you think about it, he has tried to feed them and they have not received. And the thing for us is that God's healing is for all. Firstly for the Jews, but then for everyone else. And so Jesus is fulfilling that which he was sent to do. So God's healing is for all people. And that's okay. That's okay for us to know that and to realize that. In fact, it's required. And in this, in both instances, we see people coming to Jesus and asking for healing. It's not that he takes it on himself, he's asked. And I said a few weeks ago, I find two reasons why Jesus heals. One is to teach people a lesson about what they can do themselves. He teaches the disciples how to heal by healing people. The other is because he has compassion. And here we see him having compassion on people and healing them. And it doesn't matter what their status is, or what their race is, or what their position is. Jesus heals. So where are we in this picture? In this reading we've heard today, where are we? Well, I'm guessing. The question is, who do you identify with? Which one of the actors in this do you identify with? I'm guessing that we're all Gentiles. I'm guessing that. So we all read this and say, hey, this could be me. I'm in this story. So who do you see yourself as? The person who's willing to argue with Jesus to get healing for a loved one? Do you do that in your prayers? Do you argue with Jesus and God? Do you keep on coming back? Maybe the loved one who's being prayed for. The people bringing the deaf man to Jesus. Or the deaf man themselves. The one who could not keep quiet afterwards about what Jesus had done. I just want us to reflect on that for a moment. Can you imagine not being able to hear or speak, and then all of a sudden being set free from that, and what the sound would sound like, how loud it would be for them as they hear themselves talking and proclaiming Jesus? Now, my wife occasionally goes out and has lunch with her friends, and the men will understand this, I'm sure. When my wife comes home, I have to say to her, drop the volume a little bit. I see a few men laughing. So this guy was hearing something he'd never heard before. And he was just proclaiming God's love for him and hearing it himself. And the reading, I find one thing in common. It's probably more, but I found one thing that interested me, and it was the fact that there was action. There was movement. Right? Movement. The men brought, or the people brought the man. The man went and told everyone, actually shouted about it, about what Jesus had done. Nobody is standing still in this reading. Even Jesus, when he went into the house for a bit of a break, had people follow him in. And they're asking, even more than asking, they're requiring Jesus to do stuff. Some of you may have worked out where I'm going with this already. We need to be going and asking. Going and asking. The asking part is called prayer. That's what the asking part is. It's prayer. And we need to be a people of prayer. When we want something, we need to be praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. But we also need to be people who are going and doing it. I mean, it's very little sense in saying, God, I would like you to give me a great holiday, and then locking yourself up in your room and never going outside. Make much more sense to go to a travel agent, wouldn't it? And see what God has in store for you. So we need to be going. So what does this mean in church terms? What does that mean for a congregation? Well, for example, if we wanted to grow this church, if we wanted to grow it, we would need to be praying for people to come. Make sense? We want to grow, therefore people have to come. Or for God to be putting people in our way who we can talk to about coming. Because praying for people to come and staying in here is like locking yourself in a room and waiting for the holiday to happen. We need to be making some going out there so people know. Prayer is part of it, so is the going. The going part is being placed where non-Christian friends are. So do you have friends who are non-Christian who one day you might be able to talk to about God? Practicing how we might explain about God's love. A good way to do that is to grab another church person and say, I want to tell you what God did for me in the last week. And after you've got it right, because sometimes you get it wrong when you explain it, after you get it right, then go and tell it to a non-church friend. how we can be open about our love, what God is doing for us, and what Jesus means to us. If I put three people on the spot, and I'm not going to do it, but if I put three people on the spot and I pointed to people and said, tell me what Jesus means to you, would you be able to respond in one paragraph? Practice it. Going and asking does not mean attending a prayer group and going home. Red knees means that you pray a lot. Calluses on your hands means that you put the prayers into action. I don't think God values red knees, to tell you the truth. So as I conclude, can I encourage you to be a people of prayer, people of action? Hopefully our prayers will be, Jesus, heal the person I have brought you so I can go and get another. Heal the person I have brought you so I can go and get another. Let us sing to God's glory as we reflect on those words. Come as you are. That's how I want you. Come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving and
let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have created a world of rich beauty and diversity. Hear our prayers from all the peoples of the earth. We pray for those whose lands are invaded and whose homes are destroyed, for those who suffer from war, starvation and disease, for leaders of tribes and nations, and for all who govern. Open our eyes to recognise you among us, who are hungry and homeless. Loving God, hear our prayer. We give you thanks to us in your Son. Hear our prayers for your church. We pray for Reverend Ross and his words to us. We also pray for our new minister who will be with us soon. We are so glad, Lord, that you have sent us this new minister. We also pray for places where your church, Lord, has has found a new vision. And for places where your church, Lord, like our church, plans to share your teachings more personally. Open our eyes to recognize you among us wherever two or three gather in your name. Loving God, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that you teach us the ways of forgiveness and reconciliation. Hear our prayers for the people of this community. We pray for those who have been made redundant and those who cannot find work, for those whose needs are ignored and those who cannot care for themselves. We pray for ourselves and for each other, our families and our friends. Open our eyes to recognize you among us. We give you thanks that you heal the sick and go in search of those who have lost their way. Hear our prayers for all who are in need. We pray for those whose lives are ruled by addiction to alcohol, drugs or gambling, for the brokenhearted, and for those who have lost all purpose in life, for the sick and for the dying and all who minister to them. Open our eyes to recognize you among us who are sick and suffering. Loving Lord, hear our prayers. We give you thanks that you promise us eternal life. And we remember all who have died in your love and those who have disclosed your love to us. Help us to live so others will recognize you in our midst. Loving God, hear our prayer. Amen. And would you please join with me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we bring our tithes and offerings to God, we sing, Lord, Let Me See.
Of the skin, see the faces of the homeless with no
gracious and loving Father, we offer these gifts in our lives as signs of our faith, that our faith is expressed not in words alone, but in deeds. Deeds performed in the name of the sake of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn today. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. Rest by and fill with the grace and mercy of God, the inclusive love of Jesus Christ, and the creative vision of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the feet of God walk with you.
Thank you.